Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Ray. Ray's in studio with us today. Are you halfway between Kansas City and Tampa?
It's pretty close. Pretty close, yeah.
Pretty close. But Ray Pritchard, who's on with us Tuesdays and Thursdays, usually from a remote, he's in town.
From the command bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on with us unless he's doing his little Bible teaching
little Bible thingy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now I recognize him.
Right. You see it.
Steve Paisley Jordan.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Steve.
Genuine Paisley today.
Yeah.
This is the real deal.
Yep. I haven't worn Paisley in forever. I'm glad you're keeping it alive.
I am. Doing my best.
He is personally keeping it alive.
That's right.
I wore Paisley as a child, I think, a few times. My mom made me.
But, okay. I do remember back in the 70s when that was the big thing, Paisley.
Steve is rocking
Paisley
it.
Ties. Yeah, he does rock it.
Steve's keeping it alive.
I am.
Keeping it alive.
Staying alive.
Staying alive.
Boy, we're old.
We just lost half our listeners.
That's right. They're going, what?
BGs were not.
That's right. Okay. Not even close.
We're anti-BG.
Go, Steve.
All right. Hey, any of you guys interested in basketball, watching the NBA Finals last night?
Okay, let me set this up real quickly. I do not watch the NBA during the regular season. Okay? I don't. But I do. I love basketball. I love watching basketball. Always have. And I do tune in for the finals of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Even though it's not Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson, that'll never be another day like that again.
That was
okay.
Peak.
Showtime versus the Celtics.
Yeah.
But I'm watching the Knicks and the Spurs.
Right.
Okay. Knicks won the best out of seven. Knicks won the first two games. They go back to New York. The Spurs win game three. Last night.
Yeah.
I tune in over there, and I tune in about halfway through the second quarter. And the Spurs are just beating
It's over.
It's over. It's everybody, over. Even the announcers are going, it's over.
Right.
And they're like up 29 or 31 at half. It's like, this is, how is this even happening? Well, I clicked off. I know better than to do that. I turned to another TV show that Allison and I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And forgot about the ball game. And then I come to work this morning, and Steve, what happened?
Well, cut 19 happened.
Allow him to operate at the top, 101. Brunson gets it, fires up a three. Shot no good. The tip, it's gone! It's gone! It's gone! With 1.2 remaining, Knicks take the lead. No timeouts left. They have to get it in. Harper lobs it inside. Castle has it, lost it. That's it. It's over. The greatest comeback in NBA playoff history. The Knicks pull off the miracle comeback.
Yeah, so down 29 points, and that when you heard him say the Knicks take the lead, it was the first lead that they'd had. I don't know if they had one or two points at the very, very beginning.
Right.
They didn't come back until the very, very end.
How do you – listen, if you're a San Antonio fan,
oh man,
this is going to be a collapse you'll never forget. If they wind up losing the series, which now they're down to the Knicks 3-1.
Yeah. It's going to be hard tonight. Whenever the next game is, I think it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
If this is going to – this will haunt San Antonio fans for the rest of their lives. Let me just – I don't watch the NBA ever.
You've been there, haven't you, as a Red Sox fan.
So let me switch to hockey.
Please do.
Saturday is the next game.
2013, yeah. Game 7 between the Bruins and their archenemies, the Toronto Maple Leafs. In Boston, with 10 minutes left in the game, the Maple Leafs go up 4-1.
And in hockey, that's a 30-point basketball.
Yes.
Right.
And the Bruins came back and beat them in overtime. And if I am having a down day, And I go, like, after the show, go to, you know, we're talking about
bad
news.
You go YouTube that, huh?
I'll go to my to eat lunch and put on YouTube. Not only will I watch the gameplay of that, but there is a video of these fans in an apartment, Toronto fans, and they have a camera watching them from the their TV. Yeah. And they're going ballistic when they're up on the Bruins in Boston, 4-1. And then it shows them as the Bruins get closer and closer and closer. I'm just telling you, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
So, other people's suffering.
Yeah.
That's Dad's happiness.
So how did they blow? What happened? Did they blow it or the?
No, they blew it. Well, the Knicks did come back, but Steve told me the box score, and the Knicks only scored for an NBA team. Listen to this: like 14 points in both of those quarters, the third and the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
And they got a 7-4 gazelle.
Yeah.
That is going to be the next greatest thing. And yeah, I forget Wemby.
I think it's Wemby.
Victor, and they call him Wemby, but he's a phenomenal athlete.
They scored 14 points in the third quarter and 16 points. Yeah. That's like a WNBA game. Of course, that's probably a lot of points for the WNBA.
Or they threw the game.
Oh.
I'm not saying they did. I'm saying or.
Some people say.
Wembanyama.
So, no, I don't believe they threw the game. I'm just kidding. Go, next story.
All right. The U.K. has a podcaster. His name is Stephen Bartlett. He's the biggest podcaster in the U.K. He's kind of the
How much
UK's
does he weigh?
not that kind of
two
big.
Two stones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know how much a stone is.
This diary of a CEO.
Very English. Two stones.
This diary of a CEO?
I don't know.
I completely misunderstood. You meant big as in popularity.
Popular. Very popular. His name is Stephen Bartlett.
Okay.
And he is kind of the UK's Joe Rogan, right?
Okay.
So, and he's an avowed agnostic.
Okay.
He's very open about his lack of faith.
You need to be an avowed if you're an agnostic.
You do. Yeah.
It is. Diary of a CEO. It's a very good podcast.
Anyway, he was talking. he was talking with a guy named John Lennox, who's a mathematician from Oxford and a Christian.
He's outstanding.
And I want you to listen to an observation that this podcaster makes. He makes because I think it's Stephen Bartlett has talked to Christians and he's talked to non-Christians, but this is very, very interesting. And I love this. Ray, I'd love to get your thoughts about this. Cut 20.
In a world with so many challenges, what can we do to restore hope and trigger engagement?
Give people a real basis for hope that transcends this world. And the only place I know where to find that is in Christ and in Christianity.
John, thank you. One of the most compelling arguments for God that you've presented and your way of seeing the world and being is not actually necessarily anything you've written in your books or not necessarily anything you've said. It is actually you. And you have a certain peace and contentment that I rarely see in people that I interview, but I often see, and I've almost always seen, in the Christians that I've interviewed. And this is a interesting phenomenon for me. I interviewed Wesley Huff recently. Do you know Wesley Huff?
Yes. Yes.
He was the same
Canadian.
As you. Yeah.
Wesley's a bright cookie.
Yeah. He was very much, he gave me the same feeling as you, just like, feels like a really happy person. Very sort of content, rounded, well
There are
well
many
anchored.
Of us.
Yeah. But it seems to be a trend that, you know, a lot of the Christian apologists that I've interviewed have that anchoring that so many of us are looking for.
Yeah.
I watched some of that at lunch this week. I don't know when this podcast occurred, but it's making its way around social media. So I watched part of this interview between John Lennox is a treasure. Now he's in his 80s. I hope God gives him another 10 years at least. He is a profound thinker for the Christian faith, an apologist. And this young man, Stephen Bartlett, he's an honest searcher, Ray. And those are the ones who, you know, Jesus says in, I think it's Matthew 11, that God hides the truth from the wise and intelligent, the proud, I think, but he reveals it to those who are humble.
You know, there's the story in the Gospels where I think it's one of the Pharisees who comes to Jesus and they're having a talk, and Jesus asks him a question, and the man gives an answer, and Jesus says, "You're not far from the kingdom."
Yeah,
right?
Amen.
You listen to him, Mr. Bartlett, he's not far from the kingdom. And what has brought him near is not so much what we would call an apologetic argument. It's the ultimate apologetic of a life changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Because we can make our arguments, people can answer our arguments. They have no answer for a life of joy and hope and peace that's been transformed by Jesus Christ. I think if more Christians lived out their faith that way, showed their joy, there'd be more people coming closer to the kingdom that way.
Do you think something's happening in our country? I've been kind of astonished that Wesley Huff, have you
right.
heard of him?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like
he
John
is a
Lennox.
Smart cookie.
He is a smart cookie. There are people that God seems to be raising up, and I see them on podcasts. It's just an interesting phenomenon, this podcast phenomenon that has really taken root in modern society, because you can share these things. You can share links to this. It pops up on X and YouTube and Instagram, these short clips, and then it draws people in. But I see people who are like Stephen Bartlett who have not probably darkened the door of a church,
right.
but they are connecting with and intersecting with Christians, and it's like Athens. It's like the, what was it, the Areopagus?
Right.
Where people met to discuss.
Right. Where it was anybody from anywhere could come and you could bring your ideas.
Yeah.
It was like an internet discussion board for the ancient world.
Yeah.
Okay. Wesley Huff has been on with Joe Rogan and has shared the gospel there. And Joe Rogan has, Joe Rogan's podcast, I guess, is the number one, or what's one of them?
Yeah, at least in the United States, it's huge.
It's huge.
And I listen to him regularly.
Millions of people listen to him. And he is clearly, number one, he likes Wesley Huff. They have a great time talking. But Wesley Huff doesn't back off from the gospel a bit. But he does it in a winsome, cheerful way.
Yeah, respectful.
Kind of reminds me of what Mike Huckabee used to say, I'm a conservative, but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a great line. You see, it's a good thing to be a Christian and not be angry about it, just to be happy in the Lord. And I think a guy like Joe Rogan is clearly at least considering the claims of Christ. There's more people like that out there than we suspect.
That's right.
I need to put this out for those anybody who wants to check out Joe Rogan. It can be incredibly foul and crass.
We're not recommending that
I
people
do not
go
recommend
we're not
the Joe Rogan podcast. I got to say it depends on who he's interviewing. He'll interview like physicists and everything, and that can get very interesting. And usually it's pretty clean, but often he has his comedian friends on, and you never
it's
know where
vulgar.
That's going to go. It's
okay, just say
vulgar.
It this way: if you mean his podcasts are there, look up the ones where Wesley Huff has been on with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
You'll see a guy skilled in the Bible with the winsome personality interacting with a man who's actually interested in what
he's
saying.
Good at apologetics.
Yes,
he knows his stuff.
Right,
he's heard probably all the questions and the challenging ones, and has good answers for that. It's very, very informative. But it's not for kids. The Joe Rogan's not.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Ray, and Steve, and we appreciate you listening. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. So in Cleveland, Ohio, there is a medical unit called the Cleveland Clinic, and it was doing gender reassignment surgeries. It was playing with kids. It was cutting healthy body parts off kids. It was putting kids, young people, on gender different pediatric medicines and everything to try to change, change your gender. Well, it was already illegal in Ohio, so the Justice Department brought a suit against them, and they won. And I want you to hear this, because the Cleveland Clinic has agreed to stop doing any gender medicine on young kids, and it is also pledged $2 million as part of this agreement. This isn't, I'm sure, their idea. $2 million towards helping people who want to detransition. That's someone like Chloe Cole, or that went down this misguided path to think they could become the next a different gender, and they regret it, and they want to come back. So the surgery is irreversible. Some of the drugs that they put you on make irreversible changes. And so they need help, and the Cleveland Clinic is being required to pledge $2 million towards detransitioning, as well as having to stop all of its gender reassignment.
Well, it's going to stop because of what you predicted a couple of years ago, Steve, and that is some kid is going to become an adult who had a sex change or had their body mutilated or taken hormone therapy or whatever when they were 14, because you're supposed to affirm, if a boy thinks he's a girl, you're supposed to affirm him, or either you're a bigot or an irresponsible parent. So, and you said that what's going to happen is that 14-year-old is going to become 21, 22 and go, oh my goodness, what in the world did I do to myself? Who allowed me to do this when I was a minor? Oh, it was this hospital and this doctor. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to get a lawyer and sue him.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
That's
and
what's happening.
You have that happen, then you're going to have lawyers for the hospital and the doctors say, you know what? You need to get out of this business because this is going to happen again. And that kind of, not that they're ideological in one way or another, it's just a practical practical answer is you can't be doing these kinds of surgeries and operations on minors because it can come back to bite you financially in a big way. And the liability, what if something goes wrong? That could get, so anyway, I'm glad to see this because this is, this should be, these hospitals and doctors should be liable for what they do
absolutely.
To minors.
And they're going to see Cleveland Clinic.
That's
right. $2 million. We don't want to get forced to pay anything. Right. We're stopping now.
That's right.
And they may still get sued
in
the future and may not be able to avoid it.
Next story, Steve.
All right. You know, President Trump has decided he wants to put up a big, huge monument to the 250th anniversary of this country. And it's called the Triumphal Arch. It is going to be in Washington, D.C. The National Park Service is putting it up, and they are going to have to do construction 20 hours a day for the next 2 to 3 years in order for it to be finished during President Trump's administration. Because if it's halfway done when President Trump leaves office and it happens to be a Democrat that comes in, I can guarantee you they'll stop that thing and tear it down.
You think they would? They'd tear it down?
I can't imagine them at least...
Where is it
going to be placed? In front of the Lincoln Memorial, on the Memorial Bridge, crossing over into D.C. from Virginia. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it's ours to be constructed out of concrete, clad with U.S. sourced granite. I'm trying to find the address. It's going to be according to the documents. Workers will require multiple cranes up to 320 feet tall, taller than the U.S. Capitol building. At least the construction equipment will be.
You're not supposed to have anything in D.C. that is taller than the U.S. Capitol. That's why they don't have skyscrapers
right
in D.C. But you're saying this the equipment, like the cranes, will be taller than the Capitol when they're constructing it. Is that what you're
saying? Right. While during the construction. I think it's 250 feet tall.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's 250 feet. So it's a massive.
Yeah. This artist rendering of it looks beautiful. It's going to say One Nation Under God. And the arch is also going to have a matching emblem that says Liberty and Justice for All. It's
beautiful.
It is beautiful looking.
The rendering. I will say this. I don't know what the process is for approving these kinds of projects. Is it just depending on who the president is at the time, or is this something that requires congressional approval?
It's got to come out of somebody's budget.
Well, it starts with the Truth Social post. That's always right. That's always step one, right?
The National Park Service is in charge of it, so that's the budget it'll come out of.
Well, how much is it going to cost? What's the estimate?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me look that up for you, Ray.
Let me just say this too, though. Having been to Washington D.C. many, many, many times, they're running out of room for monuments inside the District of Columbia, inside the Washington D.C. And I'm not talking about way out. I'm talking about on the mall area, and they're running out of places for monuments, and so I don't know what they're going to do about that. Maybe find another place.
$100 million is the estimated cost. $100 million.
What? How much?
$100 million.
Oh, $100 million.
It's actually pretty cheap.
Yeah. Comparative cost. The nearby Dwight D. Eisenhower Memorial costs approximately $145 million.
Huh.
Yeah.
I would have guessed a lot more than that.
Me too.
And it is going to be a mix of public and taxpayer money and private donations.
Yeah. Next story, Steve.
All right. Next time you are on an Air Canada plane, you might want to stop by the cockpit and get the pilot to show you his pilot's license, because for years, Jeffrey Wall, who's 59 years old now, was assigned as a captain for Air Canada, and he flew more than 900 flights, thousands of passengers.
How is that possible?
And he didn't have a pilot's license.
This is not a good advertisement for Air Canada.
I don't think so.
Well, it sounds like the way they run their government.
Isn't just like that movie, Catch Me If You Can, that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Catch Me If You Can.
He didn't do the flying.
He didn't do the flying, yeah. Right.
That was a crazy book. I read that. That was a true story, Catch Me If You Can. Mm-hmm. I read the book, and then I saw the movie with Leonardo
DiCaprio.
So this guy did it hundreds of times, right?
Yeah. 900 flights.
And he was the pilot.
Captain, yeah.
he didn't have a pilot's license, and he's flying air. I don't know.
There's some questions we have, friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you're saying, Steve, if you fly Air Canada, just ask in a friendly way when you enter the plane, look up to the cockpit and say, may I see your pilot's license?
That's right. That's
right. How do other pilots not catch this, at least initially?
Right.
I mean, you must have had some flying experience.
Oh, yeah, you had to have.
The tip off would have been, excuse me, co-pilot, what's that button do right there? But I'm sure he flew simulators for.
Oh,
a long
that
time.
If that's all you have to do.
The Catch Me If You Can guy, the guy's name was Frank, I think.
Right.
Abnegale,
right.
He played the part of he faked being a doctor.
Right.
And a lawyer.
And he did these kind of things for years.
Yeah,
he was a
criminal because he was cashing checks.
He was later hired by the FBI to be
to catch
scammers and frauds.
Yeah,
fraudulent actors
because of his resume. Yeah,
yeah. You're real, aren't you, Steve? You're really a radio talk show host.
Really
have you ever
his
checked
resume?
Yeah, have you ever looked for? We don't know. We don't know.
You said you used to be in radio.
My reporter's license. Family, you never know.
That's right.
That's exactly what you would expect a liar to say.
Of course.
All right.
How about your preacher's license, Ray?
All right. Yeah, right. Show them. Let's see them.
Of course, I'm a preacher.
That's exactly the one thing you can fake.
All right. Thank you for listening to this program today, and we hope you keep listening to AFR throughout the day. And we'll see you tomorrow for Trivia Friday.